Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Wesley Wildman, Fred Jackson, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
So what do you like to do in the springtime, Steve?
I like to take walks. I like to get out hiking a little bit. Colorado was great for that, by the way. Really an outdoor state. I like baseball, so I'd go to a baseball game or two, watch some baseball.
So you hiked in Colorado?
Tons. Yeah. Much more than I do here.
Well, we only got hills here.
I know.
So you should like it better.
I know. Well.
Huh? I think he's talking about the scenery.
Oh. Well, it's less exercise here.
We don't have anything comparing to Pikes Peak here.
No. No, we don't.
Woodall Mountain, 600 feet. But that's not going to
Someone told me the highest point in Mississippi is an overpass on the freeway. I don't know if that's true or not, though.
I've heard of what was it? We'd say Woodhull.
No, Woodhull Mountain's about 600 feet, but that wouldn't impress Steve. He thinks that's a molehill. Anyway, well, all right, Steve, what do you got? What's your first story?
The ceasefire is most definitely over in Israel. The Hamas decided to hold up on delivering the hostages, and true to their word, Benjamin Netanyahu and his Air Force have started bombing inside of the Gaza Strip using the IDF Air Force, which is a little bit stronger than they've done in the past. It's called Operation Strength and Sword. They're carrying out this operation, and they're going, because Hamas is, I'm reading here from the Jerusalem Post, that Hamas has reformed into a force of 25,000 terrorists.
Yeah.
So there's...
In Gaza?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's tons and tons of... Every citizen waiting in the wings is anxious to be a Hamas terrorist.
You know, they keep yanking the Israelis around with the hostages, and they release them like three at a time once a week and parade them out like... animals. It's just.
Are all of them alive or something?
Well, there are. This, according to Fox News, there are 59 hostages that Hamas is keeping in Gaza that they've yet to release. But Israel believes only 25 of those who remain are actually alive.
Correct.
And I'm guessing.
The ceasefire between Hamas and the Israelis was meant to be carried out in two phases, and phase one is over, and phase two has not been agreed to. Yeah. So,
do you think that the hostages, the 25 that are alive, are in danger now? I mean, what's the point of...
That's what Hamas is saying. What happened was Trump had people, there were meetings in Doha over the last couple of weeks, and what Fox's reporter was saying this morning from Tel Aviv is that the Americans and the Israelis had put forward that they wanted 11 of the alive hostages released immediately, and then they would move on. And Hamas refused to do that, and that's why Netanyahu made the decision early this morning to resume the war.
This, according to, I'm going to quote from Benjamin Netanyahu's office.
Okay.
Their spokesperson said on Twitter or X, quote, Israel will from now on act against Hamas with increasing military strength, end of quote. So, yeah, I think the ceasefire is over, and Israel's going to unleash the full force of the Israeli power.
Yes, and I understand the White House has said unequivocally, we will support what Israel needs to do.
That's a change.
Yes.
Yes, that's right. So, we'll see what happens. Next story.
President Trump and President Vladimir Putin are on the phone with each other.
What are they talking about, Steve?
Ukraine, trying to settle this war in Ukraine. According to live readouts that I'm seeing on my news feeds, it is going well. That's all we know. Now, Putin made Donald Trump wait for a bit before he answered the phone.
Bet he didn't wait long.
Some sources have it as much as an hour. But the call.
Do you think President Trump sat on the phone for an hour with the phone sitting there?
No, but I bet his secretary did.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Yeah. But I don't think President Trump probably had something else going on.
Oh, I'm sure he was doing
multitasking.
Sure, yes. Sure. So they're hoping to get this deal done. The pressure has been on Ukraine to give up some stuff to come to the table. If Russia doesn't come up with a good deal on their side to start towards peace, the pressure is going to be on Russia. The United States is going to start pressuring Russia to start coming up with some concessions so they can get this war done. Because Donald Trump wants this war done. Russia wants this war done. Ukraine wants the war done. Everybody except the military-industrial complex, I think, wants the war done. So that's to be seen.
So they are on the phone even now?
At last check, yes, they were still on the phone.
Well, you would have, Fred, we talked about this, you would think that the negotiating teams would have worked out some kind of a deal.
Yes.
That was agreed upon prior to Putin and Trump having a phone conversation. That's usually how it works.
Yes. Trump had people in Moscow over the last 2 weeks. So there's been preliminary discussions on both sides. And both sides are going to have to give up some things, but a lot of people are hopeful that we can at least get to a ceasefire.
That's what I'm looking at here. So my understanding, what we're discussing is a possible 30-day ceasefire, not necessarily an end to the war.
Uh-huh. It's a step. That would be a step, a first step.
Okay.
Most ceasefire.
Most wars end like that.
Okay. Did you say, Fred, that the Russians have a lot of Ukrainian soldiers surrounded at this moment?
President Trump said that. We had a clip from President Trump on our newscast this morning, and he was asked about this yesterday. He said there's an urgent need for a ceasefire because there is a group of Ukrainian soldiers that have been surrounded by Russian forces right now. He says the situation is dire. So the hope is that we actually have something very solid coming out of this conversation today.
Yeah. Donald Trump was talking about it before the call. We can listen here. Hear what he said. Cut one.
I'm speaking with President Putin of Russia to save some soldiers who are in deep trouble. They're captured. Essentially, they're surrounded by Russian soldiers. But it's a bad situation in Russia, and it's a bad situation in Ukraine. What's happening in Ukraine is not good. But we're going to see if we can work a peace agreement, a ceasefire and peace, and I think we'll be able to do it.
He said, I think we'll be able to do it.
Do it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Well, hopefully that's...
I hope that's true.
That's true.
Yep. Mm.
By the way, you guys, there's... You got the poll. You did the poll yesterday, right? The NBC? Fred mentioned.
We talked about it yesterday.
Just repeat what...
Democrats are polling at their lowest point ever, according to a CNN poll, I believe it is. Like 17. They're like below 20%.
NBC poll.
NBC poll.
And I said more AOC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they are, and the top perception is the 10% of Democrats perceive AOC as leading the party. So they are in the wilderness, and Republicans are faring much, much better. I don't remember that number off my head.
Well, according to Newsweek, an average of the 10 most recent polls found that Trump's approval rating is at 47%, while his disapproval rating is at 50%. This is according to Newsweek's average of 10 most recent polls. I don't know what to think about that. I think that the NBC poll had Trump polling over 50% approval rating.
They did.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Is that within the margin of error? Probably.
3%.
Yeah.
So It's some legitimate polls that they're citing here. But, you know, I don't remember the last time a president, I think President Trump had maybe a month ago, had a 55% job approval rating. So given the divided nature of our country, it's hard for any president, Democrat or Republican, to get to hold over 50% approval rating. So anyway, I just wondered what, if you had.
Just the reflexive anger at Donald Trump and anything associated with him, as we're seeing with the people that are attacking Elon Musk and Tesla's around. Now, liberals, Democrats, were all up in Tesla's business before he signed on with Donald Trump, buying the all-electric car right and left. And now their cars are getting keyed by people angry at Elon Musk.
So, why are the people taking it out on Tesla, though?
Because Elon owns Tesla. It's stupid because they bought the Teslas. The Teslas are already bought, already paid for. They're also attacking Tesla charging stations and some dealerships.
Did you see there was one man in South Carolina, I think, who decided he was going to take his anger out on the Tesla charging stations.
Mm-hmm.
And he caught himself on fire doing so. Did you see this?
His name was Daniel Clark Pounder. He was 24 years old, and he allegedly burned three Tesla chargers in South Carolina parking lot. And he used some form of Molotov cocktail, and the back of his clothes got on fire without his knowing. Someone had to call it to his attention pretty quickly.
Is that what it means in the Bible when it says you reap what you sow?
That would be the biblical way to say that, yes.
Sitting here destroying other people's property.
But
and
you
then,
know what? For all the claims by the liberal media that it's conservatives who are violent, time and time and time again, we get evidence that it actually is people on the left.
Oh, sure.
Who violent.
Who go get unhinged.
Yeah.
And here you have, I mean, you had the guy who shot the insurance executive in New York.
Yeah.
A liberal guy.
Yes.
And he came unhinged and he shot him.
Yeah.
And became a cult hero.
Yeah.
Many people on the left.
Here you have a guy, he just can't help himself. He's got to go out. I guess he thinks it's good for, I don't know what he thinks. He's 24 years old, and he ends up setting himself on fire while he's trying to destroy Tesla stations, charging stations.
I was talking to Gary Bauer yesterday on a different topic, and we came to the discussion about how unique a figure in history Donald Trump is. My comment to Gary was, we haven't seen this transformative of an administration since Reagan. And, of course, Gary Bauer worked for the Reagan administration, was well aware of that. And he agreed, and he says, in fact, even in some respects more. But he is coming in, he kind of taken the reins, and those who had Trump derangement syndrome before are now doubly infected. It's like they've taken the booster shots. And the masks don't help. They're still spreading the derangement syndrome. But anything associated with him is just like reflexively. He could say the sky's blue.
And but this is going after Elon Musk. I mean,
because he's affiliated with Donald Trump.
Closely. Yeah.
I mean, people can't be upset because he's taking, you know, several millions or billions of dollars of waste and fraud out of the government. Even if he's wrong on some of these, that's not personally affecting any of the almost none of these people except some federal employees.
But the spin on the stories of Doge, led by Elon Musk, is that you're not going to get your Social Security checks.
Yeah.
He's going to cut Medicaid. Veterans aren't going to get their health care.
Nonsense.
That's the spin.
Yeah.
And people believe the spin from the left, but that's not what it's about at all.
Yeah.
It's about cutting people that basically have been hired, but they're not needed.
I would suspect this fella here, this 24-year-old who caught on fire, accidentally caught himself on fire trying to destroy Tesla's charging stations, would be a climate change guy. I would guess.
Well, he's got the double last name, so he's probably from a liberal family. Mom and dad combined last
so
names.
Really,
dad, he's 24.
If he believes in global warming caused by man, and he's an advocate for electric cars.
Most of them, yeah. That's a common position for
Democrats. He is hurting the environment.
Because
he's destroying charging stations that would be used for electric cars, which would only serve to save the environment.
Yeah.
Is anything illogical about what I've just...
We don't know that that was his motive because...
No, but I'm guessing.
Derangement syndrome is enough of a motive for some of these people. And by the way, those charging stations are actually harsher on the climate than fuel, like fossil fuel, gasoline cars, because of the power it takes to run them. That electricity doesn't come out of nowhere. It's coal power plants that are supplying the electricity.
You're using too much logic, Steve. What would you back off of that?
Yes.
One thing I want to revisit and emphasize is how many times that we're seeing that those on the left or those that are support Democrat policies, when they don't like something, they vandalize it, destroy it, riot, cause problems, and so
mostly peacefully though.
It's always on the left.
And
they become unhinged and they start doing these things.
Yeah, and you would think that the Democrat politicians or even those that support the Democrat policies would come out and say, we don't want to be associated with the person burning down Tesla.
Look at all the buildings that were in major cities that were destroyed after the BLM riots.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Again, these are people on the left.
Yeah, Chaz. We all remember the days of Chaz.
Yeah.
And they're destroying their own cities.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In the name of social justice.
Yeah. Right.
Like burning down city blocks is going to bring about social justice. I don't understand the logic. And they're burning down places in Democrat cities.
Well, and it
oftentimes in black neighborhoods.
But look at the pro-Hamas demonstrators breaking into buildings on campuses. But you see, the problem for the Democratic Party, that is their constituency.
Yeah.
That's why they're not speaking out about them. That's their voters.
Yeah,
voters.
They don't want to turn around and get their own stuff vandalized or destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
But we can all agree that is not the response to a disagreement of Doge by burning down Tesla.
Well, no, that fella kind of got karma.
Yeah, well, that's why. Well, it's called reap what you sow.
24 years old, he should have
electric karma.
hope he didn't seriously burn, but that doesn't sound good. Your next topic, Steve.
All right, there is a mother named Nicole Georgas, Georgas. I think she pronounces her name Georgas. And she has a middle school daughter that's going to school in Illinois, in a suburb of Chicago. And the girl walked into the restroom one day at school and found a boy in the that pretends to be a girl in the restroom. She was very upset, went to her mother. Mother talked to the school. The school said, no, this is what it's going to have to be. And then the boy shows up in her locker room, PE class. And I want you to listen to what this mother is. This is at a town hall meeting. And this is what she had to say. This is the story. And listen closely to what this little girl had to endure. Cut 13.
Hello, my name is Nicole Georgas, and I'm here to demand that the locker rooms and bathrooms at District 109 be designated as biological male and biological female. This nightmare began on February 5th when my daughter was using the girls' bathroom and was stunned that a biological male student was using it as well. She came home frightened and was extremely upset. She was told by the administration that a student can use the bathroom as well as a female locker room because they now identify as female. The situation went from bad to worse. A few days later, the male student was present in the girls' locker room. Feeling violated, the girls made the choice to not change into their PE clothes with a biological male student present. The next day, assistant principal Kathy Vantrese pulled the girls into their office questioning them. The same day, assistant superintendent Joanna Ford, Kathy Vantrese, and multiple teachers all came into the girls' locker room, making them change into uniform. This went on all week with the addition of Ginger Laugerman. How dare they? Establishing a legal and policy framework that will make it increasingly difficult to protect the integrity of female-only spaces in the future.
Thank you.
Not a popular speaker at that town hall. There was
The trans activist jeering her.
Yes, and there were like 8 to 12 of them that spoke, and she was the only one on the
side. She was on there on behalf of her daughter.
Yes, and with help from Moms for Liberty. But she filed a civil rights complaint with the Department of Justice. Listen to this. The teachers at the school paraded those girls, made those girls walk into the locker room, stood there, made them undress in front of the boy.
Where is this again?
Suburb of Chicago, Shepherd Middle School.
Biggers.
In Deerfield School District.
That wouldn't happen in a small town in the South.
Well, this is an example of another reason the Democrats lost the election.
Yeah.
This transsexual, this attack on girls, even the daughters of Democrats, this is what got people so upset, Democratic voters.
Yeah.
Got them so upset. They either stayed home or they voted Republican, because it makes no logical sense to say, I'm okay with a guy attacking my daughter.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Did you have the other part where the...
Yeah.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, this... So, what we're about to hear now, is this a teacher?
This is a compilation of several of the transgender activists who are at the same meeting.
Okay. Let's hear what they have to say. I think three different people.
And I can take a little bit. And they were spitting angry at
this mom.
Mom who was sitting right next to them when they were speaking. Cut 14.
And in that order, it's called Strengthening Our Commitment to Affirming Inclusive Schools, which protects trans, non-binary, and gender non-conforming students from the type of bullying that this parent represents.
Let's be clear about what's happening. The claim that girls were forced to change in front of a boy isn't just misleading, it's a deliberate misrepresentation. What they're talking about, who they're talking about, is a girl, a transgender girl. But instead of acknowledging her for who she is, they're framing her identity in a way designed to provoke outrage and fear.
Thank you to the board for prioritizing the safety.
Okay, that's enough. Yeah. That's enough. So this this is in a suburb of Chicago.
Yeah. And it was the parents of the girl who were trying to...
Was anybody standing with the mother?
Moms for Liberty was there, and her husband was there. And what
is that all?
Yeah, and what you would have heard, the next thing what we just cut off was this lady attacking, saying that your religious bigotry and you're only doing this to support your white,
right,
cis white, well, Christian husband or whatever.
Yeah, that's that. Anyway, where can people read more about this story?
We have a story up on our Bronson Woodruff has done a story on AFN.net. You can read about this.
Interesting, the guy who's supportive of the transgendered person says that he is a transgendered girl.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
And I wanted to go, well, what do you mean transgendered?
Yeah.
You mean it's transgendering from a male to a female?
And I don't like how, I don't know exactly, I thought through this, just knee-jerk reaction. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about activists being involved in a school where their kid's not involved. I mean,
they're all coming. They group. They come all against this young mother.
Yeah, and they don't have, to my knowledge, these activists. Yeah. They don't have kids in the school. They shouldn't be invited to a.
They're in the community. They're
sound
in the
like to me, the board. Of the community. The board is made up of a bunch of cowards.
Yeah.
it sounds like to me
they shouldn't even. The meeting shouldn't have even happened.
They're not defending the girls.
Yeah,
that's right.
What it sounds like. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.